with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Skinny in Switzerland sitting here today.
Neutral.
Neutral.
No,
peacemaker.
I really was hoping we didn't have to talk about this today.
We're not going to talk about it. We don't have time for that. This is a Monday. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports. Now, later in the week, maybe we will. But not today, as we got Jim Traber coming on at 9:30. Lots to pick through in the college football weekend in this state. OSU, welcome back Spencer Sanders. One of the best games he's ever played in his career, as Oklahoma State ran away from K-State early and ended up winning 31-20 the Sooners. Yeesh. Sooner fans voicing their displeasure with the offense at the end of the first quarter, end of the first half. OU does find a way to win. 16-13. So both teams 4-0, but there's a different feel for each of them here today, as maybe a lot more confidence in OSU after the performance they put on against K-State. A couple of big games again. You know, Kansas State, the Sooners go to Manhattan this week. Kansas State's beaten OU 2 weeks, 2 years in a row. Will Skylar Thompson be back? That's a huge thing for Kansas State. It's amazing how important he is to that team. And what they don't look like if he's not there. And then OSU and Baylor, undefeated matchup coming up this week as well. High school football on Friday. The Elks just roll over Elgin 56-6. And da-da-da-da-da-da, make an appearance in this week's Daily Oklahoman Top 10 in Class 4A.
I kind of thought that might happen. I thought that now I'm interested in the AP poll.
Yeah, but it's normally tomorrow.
You know how I feel about the polls, mm-hmm. but I did feel like that score and that result Friday night was going to get a lot of attention. I think it is.
The Elks went into the poll. Weatherford dropped out.
That was a shocking result.
That was. We're going to talk about it right here at the top. All right, Jared, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Busy Saturday and yesterday just relaxed. It was good. Very good.
I got a shout out. Congratulations to the Elk City Golf and Country Club team, as had a little Ryder Cup match with Weatherford on Saturday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
11-7, Elk City wins. So, congrats to those 12 guys. Hated to miss it, but I also like being married. So, it's one of those, you know.
I
missed all those football games I had to go watch, which was unfortunate because marriage just pounded Sayre. Oof. It was like men amongst boys there in the 5th and 6th grade football game.
Oh, right.
It was 36-6. Yeesh. Ooh. Merritt's got a couple of twin brothers out there. Watch out. The Hartman boys. They're coming.
Okay.
They're coming. Them boys are good. Anyhow. So
well, good.
That's what I did Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah, and then
I guess for talking little kids,
you gotta tell.
With the two things. Well, congrats to my kids' 8U team winning the fall league championship. It was tough. Shout out to the Elk City Rumble Ponies. They almost rumbled us. It was a tough matchup twice, but Canute comes out with the win and the championship. And also, today's a very special day. My kid, Katie, is 8 years old today.
I saw that.
Happy birthday to my firstborn, one who made me a daddy, and I'm forever grateful for that, and I love you very much, sweetheart.
8 years old.
8 years old. I still cannot believe 8 years ago. I mean, they grow fast, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so cliche, but it's true.
It is true.
Man, they fly. Time flies.
It gets faster and faster the older
and
you get.
I love it because it's her day. So what do you want to do for dinner tonight? We could eat at home. We can go anywhere you want to go.
And?
She said, Dad, I want to go to Rib Crib.
Rib Crib.
I said, Monday Night Football, Rib Crib. I like it. Yeah.
Good choice.
She likes ribs, man. She loves them. So she wanted to go to Rib Crib.
Good.
That's what we're going to do.
Good choice. All right, last Friday night, the Elks, as I mentioned, went on the road and really just put it to Elgin. 56-6 was the final score. It was 28-0 one play into the second quarter, and then another pick six. All of a sudden, you looked up, it was 35-0 with 9 minutes to play before half. And from there, I think the Elks took their foot off the gas just a little bit, got a little sloppy at the end of the second quarter. But then the second half, they came out just right back-to-back touchdowns on offense and, you know, really just slammed the door on on the Owls. So now 4-0 overall, 1-0 in the district. And we talked about on the broadcast on Friday night, I thought it was a grown-up win, which meaning, you know, it's been a while since you could walk around town here as a player and everybody you see is going to be telling you how great you did. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to get fat and happy hearing how good you are. And I thought the Elks did a great job of kind of tuning that out, not worrying about who the opponent was, worrying about going down to Elgin and playing as good a game as they possibly could have. And for a lot of that game, they did. Played really well. And, you know, we weren't sure. You know, Elgin didn't win a game last year. So coming into the year, you had this one circled as, you know, hopefully a win if you want any chance to make the playoffs, right?
Right.
And so, but with that result the first week, Elgin blowing out Anadarko on their home field, you kind of wondered, now, wait a minute, is this a team that's being overlooked? And they had a couple of guys that went out on Friday night that definitely didn't help their situation, but the Elks were clearly the better team, and they went out there and they proved it like you're supposed to in a game like that, that turns out like that, I guess. You just dominate the game, and you give – the second half, you hand it over to a bunch of the guys that work hard in practice and may not necessarily get to play every week.
Yeah, we were throwing the word around perfect. We're throwing that around, but that was a perfect start. But we did like, in a weird way, how that second quarter went, because and Coach Meadows alluded to it in his halftime talk with us, was that we got to work on some things. I'm not happy right now. And so it's easy to look at a 50-point win saying, man, what could have gone wrong in that game? But then when you go back and watch the film, so I'm not trying to be too critical. I just like that there are things to work on, and it keeps them hungry, keeps them looking forward to, or keeps them to work on some things, because it is a long district road to hoe. And but that is a must win if we think about it, like you said, as far as, you can't drop those games like that against inferior opponents, because they could come back and haunt you when it comes down to, you know, end of the season and trying to get that last playoff spot. But, man, if the Big Elks play like that, that probably won't have to be a thing to worry about. But they just – with the way other results happen throughout the district, you really get to figure out a lot of teams after week one. You kind of figure out, okay, this team's going to be okay. This team maybe not. This team's the one we're going to have to look for and have to play against to probably get that district championship or get that last playoff spot. So that's kind of already kind of, you know, becoming a clearer picture. Now this week's opponent will be a step up in competition. Absolutely, right? With the way that result came down against Cash.
Yeah, no doubt.
The way Bethany played against Cash.
And Bethany, every result they've had but one has been that way. That outlier of the Woodward game, something weird happened. Just didn't play well, you know, something. Because that one of those things isn't like the other.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Jones and win. You beat John Marshall, who's been a pretty decent team except for 1 week when they just got their tails kicked. And then you beat a pretty good Cash team. The one that doesn't fit is Woodward. And you go up to Woodward and you lose that game in your last non-district game. It doesn't compute like the rest of those do. But I don't think there's any doubt that this is going to be a game that will, if it's either third or fourth or second or third or whatever, or fourth or fifth, the result of this game is going to matter come the first week of November. It's going to.
Mm-hmm.
In who makes the playoffs, where you're seated, do you get a home game maybe? You know, there's going to be a lot of this is going to matter at the end, and that's how important this game is going to be. And it's a step up in class. I think this is a lot more of a Pampa-style game than what we've seen the last 3 weeks for sure. So kudos to the Elks for doing what they've done. But, you know, you still – I was kind of joking around this weekend. It's like, you know, eventually you can't just say – everybody on the schedule isn't any good. eventually you got to say, you know what, maybe the Elks are pretty good. And I think this is one of those weeks where you start to find out if that's true or not, going on the road and playing Bethany. Because, man, if you can go up there and figure out a way to get a win over the Broncos, now everything's looking pretty good. Coming back home to finish off, what, three of five at home.
Yeah, that's an advantage. All these road games have stacked at top right now.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's not fun. But if you take care of business on the road and then all of a sudden the back half of the schedule is a lot at home, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah, I think
huge
so, too.
Huge advantage.
Throughout the district, Clinton went up and they handled Newcastle on the road, 28-14. They fell behind early, but then I think reeled off, 28 in a row before Newcastle put one on the board at the end. So the Red Tornadoes kind of go into what has been a little bit of a house of horrors for them the last two times they've gone to Newcastle, and they go ahead and get that win. Bethany beat Cash, as you referenced. That was a game that was kind of back and forth, and then in the third quarter, Bethany pulled away. Cash got back close, but not all the way. 35-28 Bethany. And then the shocker, I think, around the district was Chickasha going to Weatherford and beating the Eagles 24-13. Chickasha now 3-1. Lone loss was to Marlow, which I'm pretty sure is a ranked 2A team. But, man, as we kept that, you know, updating that score or looking at that score throughout the night, it was just like you kind of, okay, yeah, it's 10-0. Chickasha's ahead. Weatherford's coming back. No big deal. And it just never happened. That lead kept on growing through every time we checked on it. It seemed like Chickasha had put something else on the board, and they go ahead and hold off the Eagles. That's definitely the surprise of week one in 4A1 has to be that result.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to go back and watch. But again, we talk about maybe something happened. Maybe somebody went down. You know, we've referenced Weatherford's running back, Hoffman, dealing with a knee injury. He had come back, but was he 100% Friday night against Chickasha? Did he give it a go? I don't know. We'd have to go back and watch the film. If you know, text us, let us know. But we know Chickasha, too. They can put out some athletes. On a good year, they can put out some athletes. Last year, we saw a lot of that athleticism, except they were so – because of the COVID situation, we were able just to wear them down, Oak City was. But we do know they could put athletes on the field, but – Weatherford usually finds a way to win those games, especially at home. So it's a little bit of a shocking result. What's going to be telling is Clinton at Chickasha next Friday, or this coming Friday, and seeing how that transpires. So, but I'd like to know what happened to what happened.
Yeah, maybe
I'd like to sit down and watch that one.
Maybe it's just we thought the wrong team was good. You know, maybe it is Chickasha. It's a little bit better than what we thought.
Well, I got a text. Sum it up. Really, really good. And Chickasha has some dudes.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of like what I said. I knew they had some athletes, and I won't say anything else what he said.
But you know, he might be
a little frustrated.
You've seen that from Chickasha, though. They've had guys for sure. You know, and it's just how many do they have? So that's right. Interesting result there in Class A District 1. I don't really think there was any sort of surprise other than maybe Burns Flat being able to knock off Texoma 14-6.
I would say that I'm not surprised by that because I was so high on them anyways going into that game. So it doesn't shock me that they went up to Texoma and won 14-6.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm high on them.
They're 4-0. It looks like there's a clear, you know, line of demarcation in that district, A1. You've got three teams 4-0. You got two teams that haven't won and a couple that are right there at even 2-2. Merritt put up a pretty decent fight against Hooker. Bulldogs number 3 in Class A, according to the Oklahoman. And Merritt was 26-6, a good fight. Same cannot be said for the Sarah Eagles. Down 41-0 in the second quarter, and Fairview just kind of called off the dogs, and they win 41-7. And then Thomas still hasn't won. They went up to Moreland and lost 44-19. So, you know, Fairview, Hooker, Moreland, and I guess Burns Flat with that win over Texoma. You know, there's a clear top four right now, at least in Class A1.
Yeah, and looking at Burns Flat's upcoming schedule, Have you seen that?
Moreland at Fairview Hooker.
Woo.
Yeah.
We'll really find out after that.
Uh-huh.
After that little run.
Yeah. Are they in the mix or are they just fourth?
Yeah.
But that win over Texoma is a huge win for the Eagles.
Two of those three are at home, so that's a plus.
It's a big.
It's never a picnic to go to Fairview.
Never. Oh no,
never.
But it was a big win, and that could be another result that come November.
Yeah,
that's really going to matter in that district race. If those two are kind of 4 and 5, and everybody else is a step behind or a step ahead, you know. That may be the difference in making the playoffs and not. So another good week of high school football down in the smaller classes. Laverne and Sealing rolled. Mountview Godibo rolled. So I would imagine in that Class B and Class C, we're going to see deep, deep playoff runs from those three and maybe some others as well.
Per usual.
By the time it ends up, yeah.
Laverne and Shattuck, that's usual. Mountain View looks like it's championship or bust for them. And I'm not talking district championship. They look like the team to beat.
Statewide, we had our eyes on that Tuttle-Cushing game. Tuttle did what Tuttle seems to be doing right now and went up and kind of put a stranglehold on that high-powered Cushing offense as the Tigers beat the Cushing Tigers 22-7 on the road. So now number one solidifies itself as number one.
So you're saying Tuttle's the Tiger King now.
They're the Tiger King.
They're the Tiger King.
I see what you did there.
Thank
you. There's a second version of that coming out.
Yeah, I'm not too excited.
You're not too excited.
Wow, what could they give us more than what we already haven't
seen?
Yeah,
it's probably true.
He's in jail. What more is there?
Who knows? Maybe there's
art. Remember when they did a second season of Making a Murderer?
Yes.
It was horrible.
It was awful.
So they're just really trying to milk this for everything it's worth, I guess.
Well, he needs money. He's in jail. College football over the weekend. Oklahoma State seemed to snap out of the offensive woes that have kind of been hanging around them for the first three games as they put it on Kansas State 31-20. The Sooners did not snap out of their offensive woes. 90 yards in the first half, the lowest for a Lincoln Riley coach team, either offensive coordinating or head coach. I think it was like 2013 Texas was the last time they had that few yards. I was there that day, and it didn't seem like OU got many in that upset loss against the Horns down in the Cotton Bowl. But not quite as good a week for our man Andy Peffer, even though he still is atop the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest, but just 4 out of 10, so gave some people a chance to catch up a little bit. Let's see where we're at. Once again, just 9 with winning records, but then another handful right there at even 20 and 20. But Andy's out ahead at 24 and 16, 3 23s behind him, the 22, 21s. West Oklahoma Realty, we picked up another player, 72 strong now in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. So good start by a whole bunch of people. Then still plenty of time. Even if you're a few games under 500 right now, plenty of time to catch back up. Thank you to Tyler Harrison and the gang down there at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. We appreciate them being alongside with us in the college pick'em again this year. So OSU got out to that great start. Sanders threw for 340. And, I think they found their running back in Jaylen Warren. That's now the second straight game where Jaylen Warren has been really, really good for the Pokes on the ground. Offensive line maybe gelling just a little bit. Got a receiver back in Tay Martin. He went for 100 yards receiving. So on the OSU side of things, still played good defense. Now they're starting to get a little bit banged up. Brock Martin dislocated an elbow. We'll see how long that keeps him out. But, that could be a spot where young guys have to come in because of Trace Ford's injury. And now Martin, see how long he's out. But if I'm an OSU fan sitting here today, I'm a lot more comfortable with how our team looked than I was on Friday.
Yeah, they needed that quick start to, that 21-10 start in the first quarter was exactly what they needed. Obviously, with how the game ended, they went scoreless in the second half, but they didn't need it. So the defense stepped up like we expected them to. That's great. Spencer Sanders, we know how good he can be, and when he's, throwing for over 340 and a couple touchdowns, that's exactly what will make OSU good, and that's what we said in the preseason, was OSU will go as Spencer Sanders will go. When he's good, they're good. And that was exactly what we got on Saturday afternoon.
No doubt about
or
it.
Or evening.
And the defense for the second straight game is able to hold off a team when OSU doesn't score a point in the second half. That's not two in a row. That not only have they won, but they've covered two straight games in which the Pokes weren't able to put up any in the second half. A little bit different, though, this week than it was last, with 31 on the board there in the first half. And then, you know, you kind of get a little bit complacent maybe and just try not to lose the game with mistakes.
Which can get you
from there.
But,
it can,
you know,
but their defense almost played good enough. The defense played plenty good enough to not let Kansas State, without Skylar Thompson, back into that game.
And I think that's key. If OSU, they get into the 30s with on the scoreboard, you can take the foot off the gas a little bit because that defense has been playing so well.
No doubt about it.
I mean, I was impressed with how they – I mean, Deuce Vaughn, 22 yards on 13 carries. I mean, they took him out of the game. He was the only guy I was worried about for Kansas State. And when you take him out of the game, they become very, very, very beatable.
2 of 12 on third down for K-State. The OSU defense for the last 2 years now has been really, really good on third down, and they continue that. Now, in Norman, the Sooners squeak by 16-13. First game-winning field goal with no time on the clock in the history of OU football. That seems really strange, but it was as Berkich knocked in the chip shot.
The weirdest stat, OU never led with time on the clock. Think about that.
That is pretty wild. It was tied, wasn't it?
It was always tied. They never had a lead, and they never led with time on the clock and still won.
It's pretty weird.
That's pretty crazy.
Offensively, Oklahoma, it was a struggle again. I referenced 91 yards in the first half. Rattler, 26 of 36, 256, a touchdown and interception. But the problem, you know, that's going to be what steals the headlines. I've already had a text, would you bench Spencer Rattler if you were Riley? I actually was talking about this at halftime. Do not a permanent thing, and you always run the risk if you try to kind of change it up just to change the mojo, and then Caleb Williams takes the Sooners down the field, scores a touchdown, now what type of situation, which
right.
it didn't happen. But, you know, what are your thoughts on not a benching necessarily, but just a change up for a series to get Rattler off the field on the sidelines and watch. Obviously it didn't happen, and I don't know if we're ever going to see it happen throughout the year, but it's certainly worth talking about, I think, with the way that the offense and he, you know, I know he's going to get a lion's share of the discredit and probably too much credit when things go well. But to me, there's a lot of things wrong with the Oklahoma offense outside of Spencer Rattler's play.
Yeah, I would definitely go straight to the offensive line. I mean, it seemed like he was constantly scrambling, running for his life, because the offensive line couldn't give him just enough time for his wide receivers to run their routes, and he had to scramble, and it seems like most of his throws were while he was scrambling. And just look at the rushing stats. As a team, they rushed for 57 yards. That's not Spencer Rattler's fault. So that's where I would begin, is the offensive line. But to answer your question about benching him, at least, you know, a la Texas of last year, to let it calm down and see. But, yeah, there is that risk of Caleb Williams going out and just leading them all the way down the field and to a score and then maybe a next score, and all of a sudden you got yourself a quarterback controversy on your hands in the middle of a season, which is not what you want. So I think you stick with Rattler. Now, I thought it was actually going to happen after he threw the interception and they showed him on the sideline and Lincoln came up and said something to him, and his reaction, I thought he went up to him and Lincoln said, "I'm throwing in Caleb," or something real quick to that, like ripping the Band-Aid. And I saw that reaction. I thought, okay, I think we're going to see this. But we didn't see it. You know, you mentioned giving credit, maybe too much credit when he doesn't deserve it, but that last drive, obviously the winning drive. He took care of the football and led the team all the way down the field for the game-winning kick. But yeah, my if I'm pointing fingers, it's the offensive line. That was apparent in game one. And I think that is where it starts, and if they can fix the offensive line, I think everything else will come together. But that to fix the offense, I think that's where it starts. I don't think it's the quarterback so much as it is the offensive line.
And there's no doubt that he hasn't played great. Listen, no one's sitting here.
Oh, I agree to that.
Totally, dismissing everything he's done, because I do think there's times, and part of this because he was running so much, but there was times where there was a pocket there to step up into that he flushed out instead, and that's just, you know, comes with maybe being under pressure a little bit and just kind of fleeing out of there without, you know, doing what the play is designed to do, but you know, 28 carries, 57 yards. That's where it starts. With Oklahoma not being able to run the football, because, you know, what makes them so tough to stop is when they can run it and when they have both options available. And that hasn't happened really all year long for the Sooners. They ran it better against Nebraska, but it didn't kind of come to fruition with, you know, things off of the play action and all that. So there's a lot of things to figure out. Now, the one good thing, the best thing about it, I guess, if you're an OU fan, is these games are wins and not losses, because the Sooners' defense has been up to just enough up to the challenge to win the games. You know, they got pretty fortunate last on Saturday night. West Virginia kind of making a drive into the sort of field goal range, and the center snaps it by the quarterback, and then all of a sudden it's third and 30.
Yeah,
which definitely helped OU's cause.
But there's a little luck involved in that.
There's absolutely no doubt, and you know the pressure wasn't there like it has been the first few games from the defensive line on Saturday night. But when you look at the stats, the Sooners barely gave up 240-something yards of total offense. So it wasn't all bad, obviously. But you can just see that that Oklahoma's offense is going to have to figure it out if they're going to get to where they want to get to.
Right. Right.
All right.
But it's nice to have that defense. In years past, that's a 41-13 shellacking.
Yeah.
With no offense. Yeah, but nice that there is a defense there. It's kind of what I was talking about after the Nebraska game. So who knows? That might be their MO this year. I don't know. But they got to fix the offense. You can't win games without that offense getting better.
No way. Joined now by the voice that you'll hear right here on these airwaves at 2 o'clock. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you this morning?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, just enjoying the last couple of warm days before it cools off and maybe starts raining at the end of the week, and it finally feels like fall around here instead of the middle of the summer.
Well, I'm ready for some cool weather. I'm sick of the hot weather. Sick of it.
All right, Jim. Kind of a tale of two games for the state schools this week. Start with OU down in Norman. Once again, offense struggles mightily throughout the game. Defense just good enough, and with some mistakes from West Virginia as well, for the Sooners to come away with a 16-13 win. The big talk, obviously, is OU's offense, Rattler getting booed. Matter of fact, a chant coming from the students for Caleb Williams. Just what were your thoughts about what happened down in Norman on Saturday night?
Everything's going to be fine if you listen to them. They're going to be fine. I mean, they got massive problems on offense, fellas. Massive problems. And it's everybody. I mean, the offensive line is bad. By the way, guys, did any of y'all hear me talk last week about how West Virginia has three dudes up front that are going to play in the NFL and that they better, like, figure out a way to go around them? But, nope, you know what? They figured out that they're going to go ahead and try to go right at them. And they had no chance. The dudes up front got dominated. How about that fourth down play? Did you see Rame got blown, like, 5 yards off the ball? They got a lot of problems. I mean, it's hard to believe that they're saying this, but that's the truth. And Spencer Rattler, although incredibly talented, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what's happening with him. But I don't like the way he sounds. I don't like the way he looks. I really don't like anything about him, to tell you the truth. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I was thinking, you know, heck, maybe my Steelers could get him. I don't think I want him. I really don't. I think mentally he is so messed up right now. I mean, for him, after the game, see, you know, guys, listen, everybody gets on to me, or at least they make fun of me because I listen to what coaches and players say. I think that's important stuff. You know why? Because I think we figure out, yeah, some of it's like for our benefit, but I'm not an idiot, so I'm going to listen to what they say. And what that press conference after the game with Spencer Rattler yesterday or Saturday was just beyond belief for me. I mean, when he said, I don't know why they're getting on to me. Seriously, you actually don't know why? He acts like they're just a little bit away. Remember how we'd always hear, oh, we're one player away. No, they're not. They're not, okay? I don't care what the film says. They got problems, and it all starts with him, and frankly, Lincoln Riley's to blame too. I mean, I think that some of the play calling, once you try to run the ball up the middle a couple times and see you get dominated, go outside. You notice in that last drive, they went outside a little bit, and it was successful. So they're totally messed up. I think the defense is doing a tremendous job. You know, you hold a team to 13 points. I mean, that's all you can ask for. But once again, and I got yelled at, you know, after the game, Al Eshbeck yelled at me. But they got lucky. I mean, penalty on the one-yard line, and then a ball that, you know, thrown in the back of the end zone that you know, very easily should have been completed. A snap play that goes 20 yards back when they're driving down the field. I mean, there were some big plays that West Virginia kind of handed to OU. So, I you know, once again, like Spencer Rattler said last Saturday night, they're 4-0. So, I guess the standards have dropped a whole bunch at OU. They care about winning games, and that's important. But I don't know, fellas. I think they're in some trouble. But maybe they'll prove me wrong.
How much do you think arrogance is the problem with that offense? Meaning, you know, the play calling and just the, hey, we're Oklahoma. We've been able to do whatever we wanted to since Riley got on campus, even as the offensive coordinator. How much do you think it's just arrogance that those adjustments aren't being made because it's always worked?
Well, arrogance is a great word because arrogance is really cool when you're doing something good, but when you're doing something bad, it looks ridiculous. And I think that that's exactly right, Skinny. I think that, you know, this offense has been unbelievable. And I still think he's the best offensive coordinator I've ever seen. But right now, they got a problem. And I don't think this kid's a leader. He's following three guys that were big-time leaders. So they got a lot of problems. And I think arrogance is one of them. I just wanted to hear... You know, I mean, instead of hearing your quarterback, who's supposedly going to win you a national championship, instead of hearing him say the things that he said, like, I didn't hear it, and I don't know why they would be doing that, and we're just a couple of plays away, how about you just come out and say, man, he goes, I'm not playing well. We got to get better, and I'm the number one guy that's got to get better. That's the way I would have answered every single question. So, and by the way, for the people that are listening right now that are saying, these kids are young and blah, blah, blah. The minute you start getting paid the money and the cars, it changes now. By the way, I never believed that anyway. I mean, I never, ever believed that. I think that these kids get so much, so many perks and everything that to me they're pretty much almost professional. So, I mean, I don't personally go after anybody, but I certainly am going to, you know, criticize when they don't play well. But now it's even different. And who knows to say that, you know. I'll tell you this, guys. In baseball, you know, if you were a top pick, we called you a bonus baby. That's what we called y'all. You were bonus babies if you were top picks because you got big money compared to what we got. And you could tell after 2 or 3 days whether or not they were going to be able to handle all of that. And it looks to me like Spencer Rattler's not handling it very well. Now, we don't know the answer. Everybody keeps calling. Do you think the NIL has anything to do with it? I don't know the answer. I don't know. What I do know is that he's different. We can all agree that he's different, right, fellas? We can agree with that. And there's only a couple of things that have changed. And one of them is he's got a bunch of money running around and cars. So you make the decision.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was an interesting take somebody brought to me was, you know, the whole controversy of the fans getting on to him, booing, chanting, we want Caleb and stuff like that. And the reaction was, well, he's a kid, you can't do that, da, da, da. I'm like, well, they want to get paid like pros, they're going to get booed like pros when they don't perform. And that was the take that was brought to me, and I thought, you know, that's actually a good take because you want to get treated like the big boys, you're going to get booed like the big boys.
Here's the other thing, too. These kids in the stands, after that game's over, they're trying to put together a couple dollars so they can have something to eat after the game.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, they're, you know, and then they see this guy getting all this money, and he's supposed to be a superstar? Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt that people feel that way. I mean, it's just jealousy. mean, that's the way life is. I mean, we are normally jealous of other people's, you know, possessions and things like that.
I'm jealous
of a lot of people that are like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm jealous of how many followers you got on Instagram. 4,000? Are you kidding me?
And I'm going to be rolling, so let's keep it going.
About the NIL stuff, and you guys have talked about this as a question about it, and I wonder how much this has to do, because, you know, you see a guy that isn't performing to the standard that has been set before him and, quite frankly, what is expected out of him, yet he's still making all this money, and those big guys up front are looking around going, you know what, we're not playing that great either, but we're also not knocking down $1 million or whatever it is in the NIL. How much do you think that jealousy could even extend into that offensive line room? And he's not a leader. I think that's fairly clear to anybody that watches. He just doesn't have that it that the three before him had. How much do you think that might be, not necessarily the main problem, but something that is contributing to the offensive line's issues, just kind of going, this guy isn't worth what he's getting paid. Why should we break our necks for him?
Well, Skinny, listen, you guys have had me on for a while now, and you know I don't ever see these three words, say these three words, and I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But it certainly could be. I mean, it could be that. It could be, this could have something to do with it. You know, somebody said to me the other day, they said, you know, Kyler Murray had a lot of money when he's walking around campus. Well, first of all, what people don't know, he had to give a lot of that back. So I'm sure that they just kind of, you know, they probably just said, oh, I don't, you know, we'll be careful with it, make sure we don't spend a lot of it. But you're right, he did. And you know what? I'm not surprised that he handled it really, really well. I don't know Spencer Rattler. What I know is that something is different. I mean, if Spencer Rattler's family was standing in front of me right now and they were yelling at me about this, I would just say to them, okay, well, what's wrong? Now, maybe they would be in the fantasy land that he's in and say, nothing's wrong. But we all see it. We're not stupid. So, okay, if it's not the NIL stuff, what is it? You tell me. What is it? So the answer then, when no one can give an answer, well, then maybe the NIL has something to do with it. I know one thing, fellas, that, you know, I don't like his body language. I don't like anything. You know, I brought that up the other week where, you know, Mims makes that bad play. Mm-hmm. And he's over on the sidelines. That's a bunch of crap, man, for a leader of a team. I'm sorry. And you know what happens? These kids know that. They see it. They watch it. Someone comes up to him and says, what's wrong with why Spencer Rattler doing that? They know it. So, I don't know, man. This team, they win games because they're better than these teams, but there's going to come a time here soon where there's going to be a team that might be close to them, and it might be start with a T.
It might be in 2 weeks. Up in Stillwater, everything has turned around there. Sanders, you know, maybe outside of the bowl game last year, one of his best performances of his career. They got the run game going. I think you were asking them to just have one running back instead of four. That's happened. Jaylen Warren is obviously kind of taking control of that spot. And, you know, OSU's defense, you know, once again, 13 points up there outside of that kickoff return. Things seem a little bit more stable, at least on offense, for Spencer Sanders and the Pokes after that nice performance, especially in that first half against K-State on Saturday night.
Yep, they totally changed their game plan. I mean, they looked totally different. And I guess people are trying to convince me that it's because of Tay Martin. I mean, so you're telling me one wide receiver totally changes how you're going to play? I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But it was a well-played game. And Rashawn Woods, after the game, was saying, now you watched it again, because I didn't get to watch it, so I watched it. I taped it and watched it Sunday, yesterday. And Rashawn Woods was saying to me, you watch the game and you tell me if you think the same guy's calling plays. I think Rashawn's got something there. I mean, it did not look anything like what they had done the first three games. And it was impressive. It really was an impressive win, good win. I picked Kansas State to beat them, so I was dead wrong on that game. But they, you know, they got another tough one this week against Baylor. Baylor's playing pretty well, so they're rolling along. Winner of this game between OSU and Baylor will have, they're going to have a great chance to be going down to Arlington. So they're going to start the league 2-0. So this is a big weekend for both state schools. OU trying to get this Kansas State thing off of their daggone backs, and OSU trying to beat a Baylor team that's better than people thought.
Yeah, how about the rest of the country? Clemson obviously stands out losing to NC State. Anything else stand out to you?
Oh, I think there's three teams probably that are really good, and then I don't have any idea who's number four in the country. I mean, I think that Alabama and Georgia and Oregon are, I think, at the top, and then you could put anybody. It could be Iowa. It could be OU. It could be, heck, Florida. I mean, barely losing to Alabama. It could be Penn State. I don't know who it is. I don't know how good the Big Ten is, fellas. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. They're going to get ready to play each other, but this is a weird year, man. Seems like so many teams that are supposed to be good are playing, are playing close games against teams, and heck, some of them are losing. So that's like the only good thing about OU. They haven't lost. You know, at least they're 4-4, 4-0. And by the way, they'll tell you that too. They will definitely tell you that they're 4-0.
You mentioned Texas. A lot of us saw what happened in that bowl game last year, and some of us saw Casey Thompson in high school. Boy, he sure seems like he makes a humongous difference. Even in that Arkansas game where they got blown out for most of it, when he was on the field, that offense was humming, and they just continued with just an absolute beatdown of Texas Tech. This is a big week for them, though, because TCU lost to SMU, didn't look very good doing it. Then all of a sudden you look at that line thinking it's going to be Texas, you know, given a touchdown. I think it opened with TCU a minus one last night. So a little bit fishy there with everybody knowing what Texas did last week.
Well, it's fishy because, well, they've beaten them like four times in a row. Right. And like six of the last seven are signing up crazy. Look, first of all, if Sarkisian's such a daggone quarterback whisperer, well, how could he figure out who the better quarterback was? I mean, I said, if you guys remember at the beginning of the year, I said, okay, if the quarterbacks are really close, why wouldn't you start the guy who played great in the bowl game?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense to me. It's almost like they wanted to because the kid was younger. He had more years. Let's go ahead and play him. Well, they found out who the better quarterback is. And I'm sure you're probably, if it keeps going like this, you're going to have another kid in the portal at the end of the year that supposedly can play. That was impressive. I mean, that is an impressive offense that they were firing out there. They got a great running back. They got another dude who can really run, too. And looks like they got some wide receivers. So this is a big game, huge game, Texas and TCU. Because, you know, Texas, I mean, again, Texas has got a chance. They're good. And I'm not going to say they're back. But I wonder if people can run on them like Arkansas. That's the key. Who in the league can just line up and run it at? I don't know. I don't think OU can.
No, maybe OSU. They may be the only ones.
Maybe, although this offensive line, I mean, just bringing back Woodard, I understand it and everything, but I don't just suddenly know if I think that there's some great offensive line. We'll see. Baylor's pretty good defensively up front, so we'll see about that. But, yeah, Texas and TCU is a big game, man. And then OU and Kansas State's a big game. Kansas State's going to be, they're going to be like a caged animal. They've already got a loss. And this Plyman dude, I'm sure he's up there thinking, I don't know what's wrong with all y'all. I know how to beat OU. So he's 2-0.
That's exactly right.
We're obviously avoiding NFL because the Steelers lost. I got one more college football question.
I'll talk about the Steelers. What do you want to know?
Well, I got one more.
In the offseason, wait a minute. I said in the offseason, get rid of Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. My gosh. I mean, and right now, I'd sit him on the bench. He's terrible. I mean, he's too old. He can't do what he wants to do with that offensive line. Give Haskins a chance. At the end of the season, the Steelers have to know if Haskins can play. If they haven't done that, it is a massive, massive mistake. I'm sorry. Right now, organizationally, this is some of the worst stuff I've seen out of them in a long time. Now, again, I don't make excuses, because it's not excuses. They stink. But their whole defensive line is hardly playing.
Right.
I mean, Burrow was just standing back there. You know, with T.J. Watt and what's his name? The other kid. How can I forget his name? He's a great player, the other guy. Anyway, I'll remember it. That hurts them. And then you've got the Banner kid, they think is their best offensive lineman who hadn't played yet this year. So they got a lot of problems. Steelers got a lot of problems. But if they keep running Ben out there thinking that they're going to go to the playoffs, it's stupid. It's absolutely ridiculously stupid. So there you go, Jared.
Now, I have a question about this because I had to do some work.
Do it, by the way. Do it. Stephon Tuitt.
Stephon Tuitt. That's right. I was racking my brain, too. How much – I know you didn't like the Najee Harris pick, even though everyone thinks he's going to be a good player and is a good running back.
Oh, he's a stud.
Yes.
He's a stud, yeah. Look what it did yesterday for him. Okay, they got killed. What, he had 12 catches or something, 14 catches? I mean, first of all, they can't run the ball. Who cares what he does? I don't care about statistics. Statistics do nothing for me.
How much was that a pick of almost desperation to try to get one last year out of Ben? Whenever, you know, you knew, you thought for sure that he was done. But you know what I'm saying? Trying to supplement a run to a playoffs or a Super Bowl for 1 year, and instead they're going to sacrifice three or four down the road organizationally because they didn't pick an offensive lineman that could have helped them not only right now, but even more in the future.
Well, they may have gotten a little bit lucky because I think they were going to take the kid from OSU probably if they didn't take a running back. And, of course, he gets hurt and he's done for the year. So that would probably be even a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Look, Najee Harris, fellas, is an incredible stud. I mean, he is unbelievable. But you know what? I don't care about running backs anymore. Running backs do nothing for me. They just don't. Running backs are so unimportant now in the game of football. I mean, look at some of these teams have lost 2, 3, 4 running backs. So, I would have drafted an offensive tackle or somebody. I would have taken – remember, I wanted to take Creed Humphreys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Steelers have had, like, an all-pro center for, like, 40 years, guys. Go look it up. For, like, 40 years they've had an all-pro center. Why not bring in a new young kid like that? So I just think it was a major mistake. There's going to be some dudes, free agents at the end of the year, quarterback-wise. So, you know, how about Kirk Cousins? He's got 8 touchdowns and no interceptions so far this year. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. Heck, maybe Wilson. I mean, up there in Seattle, right? What's his name? Russell Wilson, yeah. So, I mean, maybe they'll have to go that route. But the Steelers don't do that. The Steelers don't go get big free agents, very rarely. So, yeah, I'm disgusted with the whole thing. I mean, losing to Cincinnati on your home field, not even losing, getting dominated. That's going to keep happening. And they keep running Ben out there. You know, guys, listen, what have I said before? You know it. What's one of my number one things that people get sick and tired?
Loyalty
stinks in sports, okay? It does you no good. Name the locker room after him and let him go home. I'm sorry, man. This is a horrible situation. And you know what? You know who's been one of the best at this their entire lives is the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many players they've let go, Jared? You may be too young. They've let players go. I mean, that people go, how could you let him go? And 9 out of 10 of them go other places, and they're not near as good. So this was just a major, major, major mistake for the Steelers. And I'm telling you, they play. They got some tough games coming up. I might play Ben against some of these tough teams, but eventually. You got to put Haskins. You got to give Haskins 5, 6, 7 games. And if he's not any good, then you better figure it out. Unload the whole bunch of them.
Now, that was bad, but now we got to give it up to you because who did you like in the preseason? The Rams. Man alive, yeah. Did they not look good yesterday against Tampa Bay. Stafford is a clear upgrade over Jared Goff. And then also they just kind of keep on plugging guys in. All of a sudden DeSean Jackson's there and he's making plays. Man, that Rams team looks really, really good in what is the best division in football.
Stafford was up there, fellas, just floating around in like horribleness.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what Detroit is. The guy can play. And, you know, some of these young coaches now, you know, they all kind of look the same, right? You got Nagy, you got McVay, you got in Green Bay, LaFleur. You know, they're all kind of those, you know, like, they kind of look like Lincoln Riley, like those young guys that have the half beards going.
Cliff.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, that's right. Cliff yeah. Kingsbury is another one. You're right. They all kind of look the same. But let me tell you who can really coach. McVay. This dude is big time. Let me tell you who, I was going to say it on the air of my own show, but I'll say it for you guys. Let me tell you who's a snake oil salesman. Nagy, okay? That dude, in the 3 years that they've been there, they've been close to last in the league in scoring and in yards. And everybody blames other people. Great move, by the way, bringing Fields in, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the answer, isn't it? Let that kid get obliterated. I was sitting there saying, how about you play? Remember Stephen A. Smith said it last week, I agreed. Foles, how about you try Foles in there? dude won a Super Bowl. Oh, no, we're going to play this young kid because the stupid Bears fans want him to play. What a joke. Yeah, back to McVay. I'm sorry. The Rams are really good. They're really good. I mean, I hear people like Skip Bayless thinking that Tampa was going to go like, 17-0. I mean, get out of here with that. They're really good, but there's other really good teams too. So, yeah, I like where the Rams are. Hopefully they won't get any injuries. You know, injuries just control sports, guys. The NFL is controlled by injuries. We don't talk about it enough, but it is. You know, they get a couple injuries and they won't be as good. It's the same way with Tampa. It's the same way with all these teams. But, yeah, the Rams, fellas, big-time defense, tremendous quarterback. By the way, does it matter? Who cares who their running back is?
Right.
Do you care? Seriously, guys, does it matter who their running back is?
No, because they didn't even throw. They didn't even try to run it. Neither one of those teams it matters who their running back is, because all they're going to do is throw it.
Yep, and then you just run the ball, and if you block, then the guy will run for yardage, and if you don't, they won't. It's like Najee Harris. Put Najee Harris on it. Like the dude in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You put Najee Harris in there as a rookie, he'd run for a bunch of yards too. That's what they want to do. They run block. But I'm telling you guys, forget the running backs. It doesn't matter who's back there. Throw the ball. Now, you do have to run it at some times, and I think you can, but it doesn't matter who your running back is.
Last question, how much worry is there or should there be up in Kansas City in what's a better division than anybody thought and already starting out 1-2 with one of those losses on your home field against the Chargers yesterday, a division team?
Hey, fellas, is this the Super Bowl loser jinx?
Maybe.
I mean, remember, they won the Super Bowl the year before,
right.
So they were the winner. But the Super Bowl loser, you go back and look at the history of it, it's crazy how they don't do very well. I'm just saying, I believe in that kind of stuff. I don't think they're in trouble. I do know one thing, their division is a lot better. They better not fall way behind. The Raiders are good. By the way, what I said a couple weeks ago, people laughed at me. Would you take Baker Mayfield or Carr? What do you want? I mean, come on. I mean, it's not even close. But anyway, the Raiders are good. Obviously, Herbert is a stud. You guys like Herbert?
Love him.
I didn't, but I was wrong.
I've loved him since last year. I love him. I love him.
I didn't like him at all out of Oregon, but I was clearly wrong.
See, you should have listened to me because I did like him out of Oregon.
You should have listened to his partner right here.
Guys, that's a great example. It's really a great example of if you let a guy do what he can do, then you're going to see it. What Oregon did to him was atrocious. Remember that game? Was it Auburn? Was that the game?
Yes.
Where they went up early, and then in the second half they did nothing? I mean, this kid, if I got that kid, fellas, I'm throwing it all over the field.
Mm-hmm. See, and I always
Herbert's good, man.
I always remember that game. They end up losing to Arizona State when they had him handcuffed in the first half, got way behind, and then all of a sudden he almost brings it back from like 28 down in just a matter of minutes because they just said, oh, okay, our only chance is to just throw the ball around, and oh, looky there, it looks like our quarterback can. It's amazing how fast that happened.
You know who I forgot to mention, too? How about Denver at 3-0?
Yeah, Denver's defense is good.
No mistakes. No mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll tell you what, I would take Teddy Bridgewater with the Steelers in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? That kid can really play. You see these quarterbacks, they're not superstars. Look what Brissett did, mm-hmm. right? He did a tremendous job. And then Tyrod Taylor. I mean, these are all guys he had. Nobody wants, oh, yeah, I don't know if I want him. I'll take him over Ben Roethlisberger any day of the week right now. I love Ben Roethlisberger for the way he played for the Steelers. But he's done.
Yep.
He's done. And I don't want to hear him go, yeah, I got to play better. Ben, listen, dude, maybe I should bless his heart. You can't play better. You're not going to play any better. Terrible offensive line. You're 39 years old. You can't move anymore. It's a bad combination, man.
It is. Well, Jim, man, thanks so much for joining us on a Monday. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you again next week.
By the way, big announcement coming this week. So by the time I talk to you on Monday morning, we'll be able to get into it a little bit.
Okay, wonderful.
Awesome.
Can't wait to hear.
All right, fellas.
Have a great show.
Thanks.
All right, that is the Ultimate Jim Traber. Good stuff.
As always.
Good stuff.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.